Jesus' name above all names. Blessed Redeemer, glorious Lord. He is, isn't he? He's so wonderful. Lord Jesus, you are our blessed Redeemer. You're our glorious Lord. You're a beautiful Saviour. And you are the name above all names. We love you, Lord Jesus. And as we come to your word this morning, we want to see you. We want to know you. We want to draw closer to you. And we want to be changed, Lord, in your image, in your likeness. So, Lord, open our eyes and open our hearts to hear you today, to hear your word. Make us soft and supple like clay in your hands, that you could change us today, Lord, to bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you like to turn to John chapter 6 for me in your Bibles? John 6. Thank you for having us again. It's lovely to be with you. And I bring you greetings and hellos and thanks from All Nations Church, where I think you've had a few people from All Nations recently. James has been in, I think, and Dave Shutt previously to that. We were in July, I think it was, which in some ways feels like a long time ago and in some ways feels like only yesterday. But it's lovely to be with you again. And I've got a word from the Lord for you for this morning and for this evening. And I'd like to just briefly recap what I shared with you last time I was with you, if that's okay. It's long enough ago where I'm sure it's drifted a little bit from your memory. It's maybe not quite on the tip of your tongue. So let me just remind you, we were in Mark 6 last time and we'll be in John 6 this time. And in Mark 6, it tells a story that's repeated again here in John of the feeding of the 5,000 and of the walking on water. And in the morning last time I was with you, we talked about the feeding of the 5,000 and how this was a situation where there was a great, great need. And Jesus said to his disciples, how are we going to meet the need? And the disciples thought of all sorts of natural ways in which they could meet that need. They tried to sum up some money. They tried to gather together bread and fish from everyone around. But Jesus said, no, the way I want you to meet the need is from a heavenly resource. From a heavenly resource. Do you remember we talked about that? Living from the resource of heaven, not trying to live just with what we've got to hand. And then it goes on to talk about Jesus walking on the water, and particularly in the evening session last time, we looked at what it meant that the disciples then had to take these basketfuls of bread that they'd had on the mountaintop, because Jesus had fed the 5,000, and then there was a basketful left over for every disciple, for each of the 12. They all had their own basket as a reminder of the miracle, as a reminder of what it means to live from a heavenly resource. And they then picked up their baskets, and they got onto a boat, and they started to cross the lake. And we know what happens. On the lake, a storm comes, which happens in life, doesn't it? You might have gone from a mountaintop experience in God where you've found great blessing and great provision, and then you find even the next day you face a situation or a circumstance that is a great challenge. Have you had that? Have you been in that situation? And one day you go from thinking, Lord, I've got all this bread, I could feed 1,000. And then the next day you think, I've got no way to meet this situation. They were fishermen, and yet they didn't know how to settle this storm down. They didn't know how to navigate it. But all the while, we had this picture in our heads of this basket full of bread sitting in the middle of the boat, calling out to them, reminding them, live from heaven's resource. Live from heaven's resource. Live from heaven's resource. But the disciples were frantically trying to get water off the boat and trying to row their way out and trying to adjust the sails, and all the while there's a basket full of bread in the middle saying, live from heavenly resource. Do you remember we talked about that? If you were there in the evening. And then Jesus starts walking on the water, walking on the situation and the circumstance, saying, I'm ruling. I'm Jesus' name above all names. I'm the glorious Lord. Come to me. Walk on the water with me. And he settles the storm and he takes them across to the other side. He takes them out of that circumstance or situation. But the nub of it, the crux of it is learning to live from heaven's resource. Whether you're on a mountaintop experience or in a storm, learning to live out of that resource that God has given you. Remember that. So then what happens in John 6? You've got the same story. You'll see in John 6 verse 1 is when they're on top of the mountain and Jesus performs that miracle. He takes the five loaves and he breaks them and he feeds 5,000 people. And then in verse 16, you'll see that little section there is headed up in my Bible as Jesus walks on the water, and it's the same miracle again. But I'd like you to read with me from verse 25, if that's okay. Because there's a theme that develops in John chapter 6 that is quite clear and that I want to pick up for you today, which is bread. Bread. On the mountaintop, there's bread, and Jesus divides the bread and he feeds the 5,000 people with bread. On the lake in the boat, we talked about that this basket full of bread was with them there as a reminder. And then they get to the shore and they start eating the bread that Jesus has just been reminding them of and working the miracle through. And the crowds come to Jesus in verse 25. And it says, John 6, 25, I'll read from the New International today, but you can read along in whatever translation you have. It says, they found him on the other side of the lake. And they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? And Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. You're looking for me, not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils or for food that endures, but for food, sorry, that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. And he goes on to talk to these crowds. They have a few questions, and I'll come back to those a bit later. But then skip over to verse 35, if you can. John 6, 35 says, Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you've seen me and still do not believe. And then skip down if you would. I'm just jumping around a bit here, but just to give you some context. Verse 40 says, my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. And then finally, let's just read verses 50 and 51. Here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that comes down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. It's a really intriguing passage to me. We've had the feeding of the 5,000 on the mountaintop. We then go across a stormy lake and Jesus walks on the water. And then we have this discourse between Jesus and the crowds, and we know the disciples are present during this moment here. And in Mark 6, it says the disciples started to eat the bread. So I can almost imagine the disciples sat to one side having a feast, thinking, oh, we'll just eat some of this bread. We just had a pretty rough day, a big storm. There may have been traffic jams on the way to work, and you just think, I'm just going to take a rest. I'm just going to have some bread. I'm just going to eat. But the crowds come up to Jesus, and they've got a few problems. They've got a few issues with what's going on. And Jesus focuses them in, and he talks to them a strange thing. He says, I am the bread of life. The bread of life. You may be quite familiar with that phrase, but if you think about it for a moment, it is quite a strange thing to say, isn't it? You've got a crowd of people stood before you. Jesus has just performed some amazing, awesome miracles that you think, this is the moment, you know, give the appeal. This is it. But he says, I'm the bread of life. And they all start scratching their heads. They're looking at one another thinking, what is this guy on about? What is going on here? I am the bread of life. What does he mean? And then he goes on to say that you have to eat this bread. That this is living bread. How can bread be living? It's been baked in an oven. How can it be living? It's quite a strange thing, isn't it? But there's some real key truths in it for us that I'd like us to have a look at, if that's okay. Because the crowd were at a decision point. They'd seen miracles, they'd seen wonders, they'd seen signs, and we know that a sign points at something. You're not supposed to just look at a sign, but the sign is to point you to something else. And they'd seen all these signs, and they're at a decision point now. There's all these crowds, and they're deciding whether they're going to follow Jesus or whether they're going to just think, okay, that was interesting, but I'm going somewhere else. And at that decision point, Jesus comes in to say, it's time for decision. It's time to separate. Are you really going to believe in me, or are you just interested in bread and interested in signs, interested in things that are interesting to look at, all that sort of thing? And I believe that there's a similar decision for us today. For some of us, it might be you might not know Jesus. You might have never given your life to him. You might not be following him. And the decision for you today is like the crowd. It's to say, are you going to follow Jesus? Or are you going to go your own way? But for lots of us as well who know Jesus, who've given our lives to him, who've been following him for a year, 10 years, 100 years, it's a decision again today to say, am I going to press in to know Jesus in more depth today, to know him in a larger way, or am I going to stay where I am? And I believe part of that decision comes down to this phrase, the bread of life, and whether or not we're going to partake, feed ourselves, eat of that bread of life, which is Jesus himself. The decision is clearly put before them. And Jesus is looking to separate out those who really do believe and those who are just interested in having a good meal. And I know what you guys are like. You want to know Jesus in greater depth, don't you? I know you, even being with you once, I know you guys are the kind of people who want to feast yourselves on Jesus, who want to say, Lord Jesus, whatever you've got, we're in. Whatever you want to tell us, we're going to receive it. Whatever you want to do in us, we're going to allow it. Because you're children of God, aren't you? So, bread of life, it's a funny phrase, but there are three things I'd like to pull out that I think bread of life represents, this phrase, bread of life, that Jesus is the bread of life. And the first is that he's a necessity. Bread really is kind of one of those necessities, isn't it? You can't get too far without using bread in your meal or in your fridge or your pantry. You'll find bread in basically every culture in the world, some form of bread. In the UK, it might be Hovis, it might be Best of Both, I don't know, Warburton's or whatever. But if you go around the world, you'll find some kind of bread substance. It might be flatbread, it might be loaves, it might be sliced, it might be dough balls, it might be half cooked, it might be all the way cooked so it's rock solid. You'll find all sorts of bread. When I went to Uganda when I was a teenager on a charity trip, and they had this kind of doughy, like half-baked type bread that you pull pieces off, and it was quite stringy, and you would dip that into your goat soup, and you'd eat, and it was quite a strange thing for me to begin with. Or if you go, I don't know if you like Indian takeaway, but I love Indian takeaway. I love to have a naan bread with my Indian food. I feel curry and rice is incomplete without a naan bread. I think that's true, really. So for me, that's one of the best kinds of bread, is a naan bread. We were with our youth group on Friday, and I asked them what their favorite kind of bread is. And my straw poll came back that tiger loaf was top of the list. Tiger loaf. I don't know if you've had tiger loaf, or I think Sainsbury's call it zebra loaf now. But it's very, very good. I'd recommend it. Probably not the most healthy kind of bread, but it's very, very good. But my point being, bread is a necessity. Bread is really important in our diet. Bread is a key factor. If you look in the Bible, you'll find bread everywhere. Just think of some of the famous stories in the Bible. You'll find bread is quite a theme. We've already looked at the feeding of the 5,000, which features bread, obviously. But do you remember when Elijah and the widow are together and there's just enough to make one last piece of food? What is the food? Bread. Or do you remember when David and his mighty men are running away from Saul and they're hiding in caves and they're going from this place to that, and at one point they go into the temple and they eat the bread of the presence? And that reminds me of when in the wilderness God says to Moses, when you're building this tabernacle, when you're building the temple, if you like, I want there to be fresh bread in that place every day. God wanted his house to smell of fresh bread. It's a great smell. I've just walked into Lidl and the bakery just on that side. I just can't resist. It's beautiful. But bread is everywhere in the Bible. And I believe that's because it represents something. It really, bread itself represents food in general. In the Bible, when it's talked of bread, often it just means food. It's a bit like when Jesus is in the wilderness and he's been fasting from food and water for 40 days and 40 nights. And the devil comes to him and tempts him and says, turn this rock into bread. What he's saying is turn it into food. It doesn't matter what kind of food he used, but he used bread as a representation of food in general, didn't he? So bread is this fundamental substance. I'm emphasizing bread quite a lot, aren't I? It's a necessity, isn't it? And I believe when Jesus says of himself, I am the bread of life, he's saying, I'm a necessity. I'm an absolute necessity for you. He's a bare necessity, if you like. You have to have him. You won't survive without him. You won't live without him. And that's what he means by saying, I am the bread of life. If you don't have bread, you don't have food. And without food, you'll starve. And Jesus is saying, in order to live, we need him. That's the first point. In order to live, we need this bread of life. It's a necessity. And the second thing I believe Jesus was making clear to the crowd is that he's there to satisfy their hunger. So the crowd have come to him and they've heard that he's the one who fed 5,000. And in some ways they come with a natural hunger, because Jesus says that you haven't come because you saw a miracle, you've come because you had a good meal. But if you look a bit deeper into that, then Jesus is saying that was natural hunger and now you're hungry again. You had a bit of bread and you've come back now because you think I'm going to give you more bread. And it's almost like they're treating him like a bakery, like they can just come to him and have bread and have food and have natural things. Oh, Lord, we need this natural thing. We need this natural thing. We need this. And he's saying, it's not all about just having your fill. It's not all about just having bread from me. There's something deeper than that. And it is that he wants to satisfy their spiritual hunger. Not only is he an absolute necessity for life, he's the only one who can satisfy our hunger inside. Because if you look in verse 35, where we just read a couple of verses from that, but John 6:35 says, Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. He who believes in me will never be thirsty. And Jesus says that kind of phrase a few times, doesn't he? Come to me all who are thirsty. But if you eat the bread of life, you'll never be hungry again. You'll never be hungry again. He satisfies once and for all mankind's ultimate need for bread, spiritually. Everyone in the world needs Jesus. Everyone has a hunger within that will not be satisfied by following this way or that way or the other way. It ultimately comes down to Jesus. He's the only one. He's the bread of life. There's no other bread of life out there. You might find granary and brown bread and white bread and all these kind of things, but when it comes down to Jesus, when it comes down to spiritual hunger, there's only one kind of bread that satisfies, and that's him. In the wilderness, the Israelites, we've talked about that, they were going through the wilderness and they got hungry. They were in need of supply, and God sent them bread from heaven. All the Welsh know that. Bread of heaven. They called it manna, which means, what is that? Which is quite a good name for food, I think. It should be a brand name. What is that? But they called it manna. This bread just appeared on the ground every morning, like dew on the ground. And they would go and collect it, and they'd learn how to make cakes and bread and pancakes and all these things out of it. And Jesus uses that analogy in John 6, and he says, your fathers ate manna in the wilderness, but this is a different kind of thing. This is me. God has sent me now. He's not sending you natural bread that you can feed yourself on, but the next day it's rotten. No, today he sent you me. Not me, him, Jesus. He sent Jesus as the ultimate satisfaction of their hunger, so that they wouldn't hunger again, so they wouldn't. You can't come to Jesus and be satisfied and then think, oh, actually, I'm going to go off somewhere else now. I'm going to go to the football stadium and be satisfied there, or I'm going to go to the club and be satisfied there, or I'm going to go into philosophy and be satisfied there. No, it's Jesus through and through. He's the one who satisfies your hunger. It's a spiritual hunger that he's come to satisfy. You may go away from this meeting today needing lunch. I'm sure most of you will. You'll go away feeling hungry. You'll go away with a plan to have a nice roast dinner, some Yorkshire pudding, some gravy, all this. I should stop talking about it because everyone's just drifted off into a wonderful world. But my prayer is that none of us would go away with our spiritual hunger dissatisfied, but that we'd all go away knowing we've eaten of the bread of life and we're satisfied once and for all. Because that's what Jesus does. And if you've tasted him, you know what I'm talking about. Do you know what I mean? You get a lot of other nods. The third thing then, so when Jesus says, I am the bread of life, he's saying, I'm a necessity for life. He's saying, I've come to satisfy your hunger. And he's also saying, I've come to reconnect you to God. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were connected to God. God made them in his image. And then they decided to disobey God and they ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God told them that if they did that, they would die. But if you look at the story, it's almost like they didn't physically die after they ate it. But in truth, what God said was true. They did die because real life is connection to God. This physical kind of life is one kind of life, but it's not what God was talking about. He was saying, if you eat that, there's going to be a disconnect between God and man. And that is really what death is. It's a disconnect between God and man. That's why when Jesus talks of life, he talks of eternal life. And what he's saying is there's something on offer, not just food, not just satisfaction of your hunger, but a reconnection to God. By eating the bread of life, you reconnect to God. You see what I mean? And I believe that's the thing that really stood out to the crowd more than anything else. Jesus was claiming to be God. He was claiming to say, if you accept me, if you believe in me, you will be reconnected to the Father. And the crowd was saying, wow, that's, how can you say that? How can you, Jesus of Nazareth, carpenter's son, say that? But Jesus was saying, I'm God, and I've come to reconnect you to the Father. I am the bread of life. Jesus arrived and said, by eating this bread, you will have life. He didn't say, I'm the bread of death. He didn't say, I'm the bread of sickness. He didn't say, I'm the bread of disease. He said, I'm the bread of life. By eating this bread, you will have life. All that disconnection to God that caused death in your body, death in your situations, death in your circumstances, if you eat this bread of life, you're reconnected to God. And life will begin to flow into all of those things. Life will come to your body. Life will come to your mind. Life will come to your eyes. Life will come to your situations. Life will come to your family. Life will come to your household. Life will come to your workplace as we continue to eat of the bread of life. Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense? So Jesus says to this crowd, this group, this mixture of people, I'm the bread of life. I've come as a necessity for you. I've come to satisfy your hunger. And I've come to reconnect you to God the Father, to bring life to your life. And then I'd like to look at what the crowd do as a response. I find it really interesting. The crowds in the Gospels. You could do a study on the crowds, couldn't you? You could read through the Gospels and just look at what happens with the crowds. At times they're adoring Jesus and they're trying to make him king, and then at other times they're trying to push him off a cliff, and ultimately they kill him. They're crowds. They're a very fickle group, aren't they? But you're not a crowd. You're his followers. But it is helpful sometimes to learn lessons from the crowds, to learn what not to do, I should say. And there are four main sort of problems the crowd have with Jesus in this particular passage. Four main questions they come to him. They've got a list, and they're a bit like journalists with their flip pad, and they've got a list of questions for Jesus. And I'd like to look at those if that's okay. So the first one is John 6. If you don't have to turn anywhere, verse 25, the first verse we read. John 6:25. So we know the story. Jesus was on the mountaintop. The disciples go across the lake. Jesus walks on the water, gets on the boat, and they get to the other side. And the crowd were on the other shore thinking, Jesus was here. The boat was here. The boat left. Jesus has gone somewhere, and we don't know what's going on. And so they go back around the lake. They go around. Some of them jump in a few of the boats. They try and get across the lake, and they get to where Jesus is. They find him, and in verse 25, they found him on the other side of the lake. And they asked him this question, Rabbi, when did you get here? When did you get here? They've just seen this amazing miracle. They've just lost Jesus. He's just disappeared. And so they get to him, and they ask what you might think is quite a legitimate question. When did you get here? I think I would probably have asked, how did you get here? I've been a little bit more interested in that. But I think what it shows us is that they had an administrative question. The first question they had for Jesus was an administrative question. What I mean by that is they wanted the practical detail. They weren't so interested in who he was. They weren't so interested in, you're the bread of life. But they were interested in, how did you get here? When did you get here? What's going on? This isn't according to our schedule. This isn't, we can't plan our lives around this. You're moving all over the place. When did you get here? What's going on? They have this administrative question. They want an agenda. They want a timetable. They want all the information to be available before they get involved. They want a list. Jesus, what is this going to involve? How are you moving around? When are we going to get to different places? What's the schedule? What's the agenda? What's the map? And Jesus says, it's not about that. It's not about all the practical detail. Some things are going to be a mystery. But I am the bread of life. That's what he's saying. He's saying, move away from all the administrative questions. They'll be answered when you realize he is the bread of life. He will answer all those questions, but not as a first point. His first point is, are you in a relationship with me? Do you want to follow me? And the crowd say, we just want the detail. We just want to know all the information before we get involved. We can't throw ourselves in until we've got our timetable, our schedule. And I know you're not like that. You're all in, aren't you? But the crowds were struggling with that administrative question. And then they had an amusement problem. An amusement problem or an entertainment problem. In verse 30, John 6, verse 30, you'll find they ask him another question. They ask him, what miraculous sign will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? That's such a crowd-like question, isn't it? What are you going to do? Show us something. Do something interesting. Do something fancy. They have this amusement question. They're constantly looking for a sign. They're constantly looking for the next showbiz moment. He's just been on the mountain and he's been breaking bread and he's been feeding 5,000 people and then he walks on the water. And then what's the next question? What are you going to do next? What are you going to do next? It's this constant amusement problem. They don't want a relationship with Jesus. They just wanted entertainment. And I know you're not like that. Because you want a relationship with Jesus. But the crowd, they had this administrative problem and they had this amusement problem. They just wanted entertaining. And you'll never eat the bread of life if all you're looking for is entertainment. Because Jesus isn't into that. He's not about being famous in that sense. He's not about showbiz. He's about real life. He wants you. And we want him. And the third thing they ask is what I've called the accountancy question, which is a bit of a strange thing to say. But John 6:34, they ask him another question. They say, give us this bread. Give it to us. We want that bread. Give it to us. But they've missed the point because Jesus is saying, I am the bread. I am the bread. But they think it's some commodity. They think it's, if we can get this bread, we can give it out and people will never be hungry again. We can make a business off this. We can make money. This is fantastic. Give us this commodity. Give us this bread. This is fantastic. What a good business idea, Jesus, you've got this here. Look at this. It's bread of life. It multiplies somehow. We can make money off this. This is fantastic. It's the accountancy problem. They're thinking, how can we make a profit here off Jesus? How can we make this a thing in which we can reproduce and which we can make a profit off? When Jesus is saying, no, it's me. It's me. I am the bread of life. Come to me. And they're trying it. They're always thinking, this is a money-making machine here. Look, this is bread that never ends. This is he just fed 5,000 people with five loaves. If we can get this bread, we could make a business. We could set it up. We could have a bakery. This is fantastic. My Sequoia Road, eat your heart out. This is going to be brilliant. But no, Jesus puts aside the accountancy problem. He says, no, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever comes to me will never be thirsty again. It's not about the bread. It's about him. And the fourth question they have is the authorization question, the authority question. In verse 42, Jesus has been explaining and explaining and explaining. It's not about having all the answers. It's not the administrative problem. It's not about just having entertainment. It's not the amusement problem. It's not about making money and having a business. It's not the accountancy problem. And then they come to him with the fourth question. And this is one of the key ones. Verse 42, they said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he say, 'I came down from heaven'?" They have this problem of authority, the authorization question. They can't see past the natural hierarchy, the natural genealogy. They say, "This is Jesus, this is the son of Joseph. We know who he is. How can he say, 'I'm the bread of life'? We know, he's a carpenter. He's a carpenter. How can he say, 'I'm the bread of life'? He's from Nazareth. He's got a bad reputation. How can he say, 'I'm the bread of life'?" And they've got this problem with authorization. They don't believe that Jesus can say what he's saying. They can't see past the natural. They've got their eyes closed in their spirit, and all they're seeing is what's before them. They're only seeing a man saying, "I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever comes to me will never be thirsty." They have this problem. But again, Jesus says to them, "I am the bread of life. I am a necessity for life. I will satisfy your hunger. I will reconnect you to God." And he's saying to them, put aside the problem of administration. Put aside the worries about how it's going to work, what it's going to look like, what time it's going to be, where it's going to be, how it's going to happen. Put all that aside and just come to me. And he says to them, put aside this need for amusement and entertainment and for something new all the time and for some showbiz and for some fame. Put all that aside. Come and connect with me. And he says to put aside this need to try to make money off it, this kind of, this commodity, this is the next big thing, this is the next product we can sell. Put all that aside. Just come to me. He says, put aside the need for some title or some position or some natural sort of descent from some famous person way back when or some historical link to St. Peter or St. John. Or just put it all aside and come to me and eat this bread of life. And I believe Jesus is saying the same thing to us. Just come to him. Just eat the bread of life today. He wants to open our eyes to see him as he really is. Not a man from Nazareth, but the Son of God. Not just a miracle worker, but the bread of life. And it's all summed up really for me in verse 40. If you'd look at that with me, John 6, verse 40. This is really where Jesus sums it up for them. The kids are having fun. John 6, 40. Jesus says, "For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." And that's the answer to all of these questions. Everyone who looks to the Son. And I believe today the instruction from God is, look at him. So simple. Look at him. Don't look at the issue around. Don't look at the questions. Just look to the Son and believe in him. And you will have eternal life. You'll eat the bread by just simply looking at him. And we have to tell ourselves this sometimes, but we don't need all the details. We don't need all the details. We just need to look at Jesus. We don't need to be entertained. We just need to look at Jesus. We don't need to make a profit. We just need to look at Jesus. And we don't need a title or a position. We just need to look at Jesus. He is the bread of life. He's come to meet the fundamental need in your life. He is the bare necessity. He's come to meet that need. He's come to satisfy that deep longing and hunger in our lives by just simply looking at him, eating this bread of life. He's come to connect us again to God the Father. He's come to give us life, real life, not just living and breathing and having blood going around our body, but real life in him. He's come to answer every question you could have. It might be similar questions. It might be different questions to what the crowd had. But you may feel a bit lost because you don't know the details of what's going on in your life. You don't know how X and Y are going to make Z in your life. You don't know how it's all going to add up. You don't know how one part of your life fits with the other. It just seems a bit of a mess. It just seems confusing. You've got an administrative problem in your life. And Jesus is saying, the answer to that question is really simple for you today. Look at Jesus. Eat the bread of life. Put aside the administrative question. Because we've, lots of us, been there where there's an administrative problem in your life. You think, I don't know how this works. I may have told you this before, but my wife and I, when we were planning to get married, my wife is from America and was living in America while we were engaged. And we were looking at how we could, where we'd end up. We had an administrative problem. And we knew that God had called us to live in Cardiff when we were married. But that presented some practical administrative difficulties, financial difficulties, accommodation difficulties, all these kind of things. That you think, there's an administrative problem. And we wanted to know the timetable and the schedule and when do we get here and how do we get here and what do we do when we're there. We wanted all the answers to all the questions, and that's perfectly legitimate. And there are some questions that you need an answer to. If you've got to meet a certain financial need, you've got to have an answer to that. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. But we found a breakthrough in simply saying, Lord Jesus, it's got to be you because we can't do this. And we had to eat that bread of life. We had to look to Jesus and know that he'll meet the need, but the priority is our relationship with him. And that put aside that administrative question for a while we just go to Jesus, and he will answer that. He'll tell you when. If you're in a situation in work or in your family and you think, there's an administrative problem that I don't know how this situation is going to be answered by this need or whatever it is, and it's just take a moment now. Just look to Jesus. Let him join the dots in your life. Rather than always coming with the, when did you get here? How are you getting here? What are we doing next? Boom, boom, boom. Give me my list. I need a timetable. What day are you going to do it, Lord? I want to know what hour of what day you're going to answer this prayer. And he says, put that aside. Look at me. Eat the bread of life. Similarly, it might not be an administrative question. It might be an amusement question for you. It might be, Lord, I need something that's going to entertain me. I need something new. I need something fresh. But you're finding that everything you're involved in is shallow, it's empty, it's not meeting that need. But Jesus is saying, don't focus so much on needing something entertaining. Don't focus so much on trying to find the next new thing or the next big thing. Just look at me again. Just find refreshment by eating this bread of life again. And he'll answer to that. Those things in your life that feel stale, that feel old, and you think, I just want something fresh. Don't look for a sign or a wonder. Just look at Jesus. Don't look for a sign or a wonder. Just look to Jesus. And he will answer that question by giving you the bread of life. For some, it may be trying to make money. It might be trying to be a success. It might be wanting to be the next big thing. It might be, I've got to find a business idea that's going to make it for me. I want to be an entrepreneur. I want to find some way of making money out of this thing. And Jesus says, it's not about that. It's not about trying to find natural success with natural means. Look at me. Look to Jesus. Eat the bread of life. And he'll give you the right way to go. He'll tell you where to go, what to do, how to do it. But it's not all about business ideas and trying to make money. It's all about him. And for some, it might be just thinking that it's all about having a title or a position or a name, being famous or getting some sort of rank and hierarchy. But it's really not about that. It's not about that at all. It's about Jesus. And I don't know which of those questions applies to you most today. It might be something entirely different, but I believe that the word of God is the same to you. It's very, very simple. Just look to Jesus, knowing that he's the bread of life, and say, Lord, I want to eat that bread. I want to feed myself on you, Lord. I want to be satisfied by Jesus and find my life in him. So if for you that is the first time you're going to do that, then give your life to Jesus today and you'll have the bread of life. You'll be reconnected to God and he'll answer all those questions. But it's also for us who know him, who love him, but are facing a challenge or a situation in life, you think, I just don't know what to do. I've got all these questions. Jesus is saying, I'm the necessity for your life. I'm the one who'll satisfy your hunger. I'm the one who will connect you afresh to God. Look to the Son and believe, and you will receive eternal life. So I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to, this evening, have a little look in a bit more detail at what it means to look to the Son. We'll talk about what it means to fix your eyes on Jesus. But for this morning, that's the word for us. Look to the Son, eat the bread of life, and those questions that you have will be answered by him as you just draw closer to him. So let's pray, shall we? Lord Jesus, we want to thank you. We want to thank you that you are Jesus' name above all names, beautiful Saviour, glorious Lord, and that you told us that you are the bread of life. And Lord Jesus, though we may have questions in our life, we want to thank you that your answer is always to draw us closer to yourself. Your answer is always to take our gaze and our focus away from those questions and to fix our eyes again on you, Lord Jesus, the bread of life. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you that you have satisfied our hunger once and for all. And that you've connected us to God, that we're alive, that we have life in us that's not just physical, but a deep spiritual life from you, Lord. You've made us alive. And Lord, I pray for every person in this room, for every family that they represent, for all the friends that they represent, for all the work colleagues they represent. Lord, I pray that you would demonstrate yourself as the bread of life to those people. The people looking at us would see that we've been feeding ourselves on you, the bread of life. Lord, I pray that for every question or issue or problem in lives here, our answer will be found in you, Lord Jesus. Lord, turn our eyes again to you and remove from us any need for answers, Lord, that are outside of you. Simply let us find the answer in you, the bread of life. Lord, today I pray that as we go from this place and as we eat natural food, we would be reminded of this word, that we're to always be feeding ourselves on you, Lord. Lord, I pray that as we go from this place, we would find, as we're reminded of situations in our lives, as things come to mind, of whether it's a financial need or a need in accommodation or a need in work or a need in a family situation. Lord, in all those things, I pray that as they come to mind, you would remind us to simply focus on you, to feed ourselves on the bread of life, and that you would answer those questions, Lord. In your wonderful name.